gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Happy Friday, 6 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere, stephaniemiller.com. Check it out, everybody. You can email us all there. Executive producer, Chris LaVoy, voice deity, Jim Ward, associate producer, Rebecca Taylor, or me, Stephanie Miller. Mama will be on the Ed Show, pretty sure, on MSNBC today at 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern, unless something more important happens.
Like a Lohan gets...
And then some things are dispendable.
Stephanie Miller.
Generally first to go.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
You're the fluff.
All right. Take care now. Bye-bye, then.
All right. I'll never forget the time that when Michael Jackson died. I was, like, sitting in the chair with the thing, and they were like, and going to Stephanie in 3, 2, I started seeing the Chiron. Nah, never mind, Stephanie.
All right.
Yeah.
Take care now. Bye-bye, then.
They yanked me out of that chair so fast, I was like, huh? Okay, sorry. Breaking news. Get out of the way, loser. All right, so a big show nonetheless. We have Ian Millhiser, fancy legal analyst for the Center for American Progress, to talk about Elena Kagan's nomination to the Supreme Court.
Hallelujah.
Oh, the right wing already going crazy, I'm sure, with her short-haired softball-playing activism.
What are you suggesting?
Christian Weller, listen, we're going to get to the right-wing world and the whole Prop 8 hysteria in a moment.
Yeah.
Christian Weller, economist extraordinaire, next hour, and then Ted Boutros.
Boutros?
Golly. Ted Olson's a law partner in the Prop 8 case in hour number 3.
That never gets old.
I know it does not.
I wonder if he's heard it.
I'm sure it's still hilarious after the 90th telling. In the meantime, by the way, we should mention, and we have mentioned this on the air, but Fridays with Fuglesang. John Fuglesang's father passed away this week. The funeral was yesterday.
Yeah.
Go to johnfuglesang.com, or you can reach him through Facebook. But please send him your love and prayers. He's been dealing with this for a long time. Both his parents, you know, had not been doing well, and his dad has been in hospice for a long time. So he's really such an amazing son, and he's... You know, written, I'm told, some really amazing things about his dad.
On his Facebook page, he's kind of been, you know, telling the story of his dad and, you know, how he met
His
mother.
Which he's told on the show. They're both clergy.
Yeah, but, yeah. I mean, the writing is so beautiful and, you know, it just moves you to tears. So I urge you to go to John's Facebook page and read it.
He is a brilliant writer.
Yeah.
Here's the thing for me. For anyone, I will warn you ahead of time, a spoiler, if you've lost your dad like I have, I can't read that till the end of the week because I would fall apart and not be able to do the show. So
yeah.
I'm waiting till this weekend to read John's tributes to his father.
Do you know how to get to Facebook?
It's because I do it every time when I've had a dog pass away. Everybody sends me the rainbow thing and I still read it. And I'm like, why did I do that? Why did I read the Rainbow Bridge thing again? Why do people think this is going to be comforting? But thank you, all the people that sent me that. All right. Oh, by the way, break out the tiny violin called the Whamulance.
Why? What happened?
Was yesterday Leg Equality Day for me?
Computer says no.
Yeah.
Oh, dear.
I did not get my leg did not get its freedom yesterday. It's still a tiny, shriveled little...
They may take our lives, but they'll never take our freedom!
Yeah, I went all Mel Gibson on my doctor's ass. I'm like, what? It's been on my calendar for... It says cast off day.
Did you get all anti-Semitic and sexist?
Yes, and he's not even Jewish. I exploded in a burst of just rage. Two more weeks in the cast. So now I have to call the... Can I just tell you, my bedroom now looks like urgent care at Cedar Sinai. I have the bone stimulator there, and you got to charge that. And then I got, I told you, the H-Wave thing.
Yes.
Which gives me an opportunity to electrocute myself every day. I don't know what it is. It's a muscle stimulation thing that helps you not to atrophy and get your circulation going and... I don't know what else. Pain.
I think they sell those on late night television for lard.
They do not. This is
lard asses that don't want to get up off the couch and exercise.
This is not like one of those treadmills in the 70s with the things attached to you. No, this is an actual certified serious medical device.
All right.
It comes in a briefcase that looks like the nuclear codes. It's important and serious.
So do those late night infomercial thingies that shock your muscles into moving.
Did I get what's that thing called, a nebulizer? What the hell did they send me? I don't know what it is. Anyway, so I have the
A nebulizer is for people that have emphysema.
I don't know when you're up in the middle of the night. I'm like, I must need that. I have a mobility
scooter.
Oh, here's what I get now that I, because I ordered my mobility scooter on Overstock.com.
Yeah.
So now for the rest of my life, my elder, well, how much longer can there be at my age?
Exactly.
But now I get those, the emails. Oh, do you need a, you know, for instance, like a nebulizer? You know what I'm saying? They assume that you're like 1,000.
Elderly, yeah.
And you've already bought this, so now they're just like, oh, how about a, would you like a, look at this? And then you do. You get sort of mobility device envy. Then you're kind of like, oh, maybe I do need that now.
Overstock allows
maybe you... Maybe I do need the oversized wheels and the shiny hubcaps.
Overstock allows you to opt out of those emails. Do you know how to do that?
No.
Oh, boy. Okay.
All right. He wants to be conservative because it's, I've only been in the cast for 4 weeks, and so it's 2 more weeks, and then we'll see, and then maybe in the boot. So guess what, everybody? Going to Seattle in the cast. Come see Mama. You do get lots of sympathy, though. You get the wheelchair and the airport and everything. I won't be able to do my usual slutty, dancey entrance, though.
No.
I apologize in advance, Seattle.
Can you wheel yourself in?
It'll be the Olivia Soprano's entrance. Seattle, getting Olivia Soprano's wheelchair ready for my entrance. My entrance. And if you get it wrong, Seattle, I'm not coming.
Let's get one thing straight and we'll get along fine. My entrance.
Yes.
Lights first, then music, then the door, then the carpet.
Mm-hmm.
If a mistake is made, someone's head will roll. Would you like to guess whose?
Yeah, talking to you, Seattle program director. Yeah, and then so red carpet, and then the Olivia Soprano's chair, and that'll be my my entrance. Mm,
very,
we will be
very
up there
slowly.
It won't be the free bird welcome that I'm used to. It'll just be in now.
Stephanie Miller.
It'll be me and Tom Hartman and Randy Rhodes and Norman Goldman and Mike Malloy and Ron Reagan. Go to am1090seattle.com to find out how to get tickets. We will be up there Saturday, August 14th. That's next Saturday. See if you can still get tickets. You can also submit questions online for the Q&A.
That's fancy.
Isn't that magical?
And we have a link to it in the calendar of events section of stephaniemiller.com.
Don't bother asking me questions. I'll just be like, huh? Huh? Hang on. Let me take my nebulizer off. All right. You know what I have to do? Oh, look, it's another unsolicited testimonial of P90X. I have to get back on my P90X as soon as I get this off. Cindy in Boston writes, Steph, last Friday I called a friend in Denver. Denver, we love Denver.
We love you, Denver! City by the Bay!
When he got to the phone, he was out of breath, grunting and sounding like everything hurt. How? Who hasn't had a guy answer the phone like that?
Right.
Sorry, did I interrupt? No, just keep talking a little longer. Kevin, explained that he had just finished his exercise program.
Whatever.
And it was kicking his butt. I said, it's not P90X, is it? He said, it was. I told him about you and how good you look in the pictures and that you're a year older than him. I told him to go look at your pictures. He felt encouraged.
Oh.
Cindy in Boston, why, thank you, Cindy. And Kevin, thank you.
Someone got encouraged by looking at pictures of you?
They're airbrushed, Kevin. I wouldn't get all
exercised.
All right.
And you had a rib removed, like Cher.
I have not had a rib removed. You are the biggest liar in the world.
You're a lying sack of crap. You're a lying sack of crap.
All right.
You're a lying, scheming, stinking, nasty sack of liquid crap.
Clink, clink. Oh, we are going to dive into Right Wing World in a moment, but, can I have some hilarious comedy music? This
sure.
Is... We've talked to Eric Bollert and others. By the way, he's a hottie. I see him on TV all the time now. Just saying.
All right.
But anyway, he's written a lot of Media Matters. It's just about this violent rhetoric, the violent racist rhetoric. He's called the summer of race baiting on the right. This is, let's see, where is this exactly? In Pennsylvania. A figure used as the shooting gallery target with the Prez belt buckle and health bill in hand. A carnival game that's offered fairgoers a chance to win prizes by shooting a black man has been axed after complaints that the target resembled President Obama. And if you look at it, it looks exactly like President Obama.
It does.
And in case you missed that, it says the Prez on his belt buckle.
Yeah.
See, he's holding a health kit. I get it, everybody. A family attending the reunion at the carnival wrote, we were appalled to find a shooting game that had as its target an unmistakable image of President Obama. One wins a prize by shooting the president on targets placed on his head or heart.
Ooh.
Adults and children alike were taking aim at the president. The family said it challenged the game's owner, who claimed it was freedom of speech. Oh, don't they always claim that? One member of the family, Catherine Chapman, said, I was totally floored, just appalled. I just can't believe how far things have come, that now on church property you can shoot the president and get a prize if you hit him in the head or heart. next week. It's at Our Lady of Mount Carmel Big Time Fair in Rosetta, Pennsylvania. Oh, that's a big time fair, isn't it? That's big time fun. Mm. Big fun for the whole family.
That's a church?
Somebody thought that was okay. And it's the gays that apparently are hurting the children. Okay. All right. So we have a raucous right-wing world, including Michael Savage. How did I know that the gayness of the judge and Prop 8 might become an issue at some particular point? All right. So you won't believe what the Savage Wiener had to say. 17 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
I'm sorry. That's inappropriate.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. 21 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Ian Millhiser, legal analyst extraordinaire, coming up in just a few minutes on the Elena Kagan confirmation to the Supreme Court of the United States of America. Ladies and gentlemen.
Sweet.
All right, let's dive into the right-wing world and see what's doing, shall we? You know, you can always count on old... It's almost like a, you know, kind of a really racist, sexist, homophobic water weenie that you can always count on in right-wing world. When you're...
I suppose. You make me well, listen to it.
You know, Rachel and Keith and others have been commenting on the relative, which is very encouraging, I must say, in the civil rights struggle, the relative quiet on the right over the Prop 8 thing. Perhaps they're starting to realize they're on the losing side of history, but not the Savage Wiener.
No.
All right.
Little Caesar claimed that the right to marry protects an individual's choice of marital partner,
check,
regardless of gender.
Check.
Now, let me go on to the next step. The fact that this Little Caesar happens to be gay is an issue. This is a bias. And the fact that the media refuses to report to you that Little Caesar is a member of the gay community is unto itself a bias.
No.
Why do you even start with how incredibly homophobic that is? So he's not allowed to have a job or an opinion at all because
right.
he's gay, and that might impair him in some way.
Judges rule on straight marriages all the time.
Just
and
gonna say,
they don't recuse themselves because they're
oh, you know what?
Straight.
I'm married to someone of the opposite sex. I can't rule on this. Wow. Yeah, how did I know that that was going to rear its ugly head?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe we should ask his former lover, Allen Ginsberg. What?
Oh, hey!
That's just a rumor, and I don't know for sure. Okay, O'Reilly and Monica Crowley.
There's no clear front runner in the Republican Party, which is a problem for the Republican Party. There's no standard bearer.
It will be a problem. It's not a problem going into November because Republicans
no,
don't
because
have to
a
put
House
a compelling
deal.
Agenda out now
but,
because what? They'll win by default.
Well, the Republicans will win by default?
Wow. Really? We can just pack up and go home now?
Yeah. She's encouraging the Republicans to pack up and go home now because you're just going to win.
Oh, 2012, though, she said.
Yeah.
Who's their candidate? Caribou Barbie? That's all a done deal now?
Mittens?
Mittens? I don't know.
Basil Marceau?
They have a front runner, but whoever. Just fill in the Republican blank here?
Yeah.
Which I think that should be their slogan because that's pretty close to what they're, because that's their idea.
Right.
It's nothing. I think that's perfect. At least it would be honesty in advertising. Fill in the Republican blank here for president.
They should run Basil Marceau, that guy from Tennessee.
That'd be awesome.
Oh, my God.
Okay. Well, good. Well, that's, you know, a lot less work for all of us.
Yeah. A lot less money spent. I can, you know,
okay.
don't donate to anybody. I
can
just keep my heart and money. Yes. Oh, my God.
Yes.
In
the Barca Lounger. All right. Drug-addled gas bag Rush Limbaugh. Huh?
Remember, the White House was keeping the media away from the Gulf. Remember Anderson Cooper, 94, complaining they couldn't get down to the cover. Now we know why. There was nothing to cover. There was no disaster. They couldn't find any oil.
Oh.
It wasn't there.
Wow. If Jim was here, his head probably did just explode in the car on
yeah.
the way here.
Yeah.
There was nothing. Nothing. It's all disappeared now, magically.
Yeah.
It has nothing to do with Corexit. It just disappeared. I see. So there's no story at all.
No.
There was never anything there.
Nothing to see here. Move along.
It's like Avatar. You can't even tell. What's maybe it's not even real. We don't even know which part is real, which isn't. Maybe the story's just entirely made up. I see. There was no disaster. Wow. It's just all done now?
Yeah.
Okay.
It was all CGI.
Wow. See, that's what I'm saying. It was CGI. Okay. All right. Oliver North, a convicted felon. Oh, I know. It was overturned on a technicality, whatever. He once screamed that at me on television. Whatever.
He was, okay. He was convicted at one point, though.
Yes. Yes. Well, I was having a discussion with him about Bill Clinton lying to Congress, and I just pointed out a big...
Wheel
yes.
Of right-wing hypocrite!
I was like, excuse me? Ball sex is mine? Did you, Oliver North, just say something about someone else that you feel? Interesting. Okay. Here he is on the repealing...
These kids who come from a background of either homeschooling or Christian education, who came in the military, and who take out a copy of the good book, when they, instead of porn, when they're out there on a mission. Now, those youngsters are not going to come into a military where they've been told by order that homosexuals can come in. Moms and dads are not going to encourage their youngsters to come. So it immediately will affect recruiting.
Wow.
Longer term, they're going to have to deal with the following issues. Are NAMBLA members going to be allowed to serve?
NAMBLA. The Man Boy Love Association, that thing.
Yeah.
It'll be, the military will be comprised entirely of NAMBLA members.
Right.
I see. Or nobody's going to join at all because no one wants to serve with the homos, of course.
Exactly.
So the whole army, there will be no army, so we won't have an army. So presumably we will be overtaken by everybody.
Muslims.
Well, anybody could because we will have no army because no one will join because of the gays.
We could be taken over by the Lollipop Guild.
He is ridiculous.
He really
seriously.
Is.
I mean, that's the thing. It's like these arguments, whether it's against gay marriage or don't ask, don't tell, they just sound musty. You can feel them. You can smell the mold on them, can't you?
Yeah.
What?
I've got news for Colonel North. He has served alongside gay people. There are gay people in the military right now.
Goodness.
A lot of them.
Gracious. We could be overtaken by a whim away at this point because we won't have no army at all because no one will join.
That's our national anthem.
Well, yes. They were our ally, our last remaining ally in Iraq, and now we will be governed entirely by whim away. Thanks. Thanks, gays. Look what the gays have done to us. Rush Limbaugh and...
Stephanie Miller.
Look what the homosexuals have done to me.
Rush Limbaugh, and who better to talk about family values? Who better to talk down to the gays than Rush Limbaugh?
Gay political activists may not know it, but they are being used by the overall leadership of the American left.
Well,
the left uses issues such as gay marriage as battering rams to wreck the U.S. Constitution.
What?
They are cheering. They are giving standing ovations to this judge for weakening the U.S. Constitution.
Really?
For ripping it to shreds.
Prop 8 did more to weaken the U.S. Constitution than overthrowing it.
It's based entirely on the Constitution, including the 14th Amendment,
exactly.
Which you all find dispendable now because you all don't like it. By the way, that's so ridiculous, as someone pointed out on television yesterday. That's not going to happen. You're not going to be able to... You can't just start peeling,
Do they realize...
Peeling amendments away like string cheese, for God's sakes.
Do they realize what it takes to amend the Constitution?
Ugh.
It's hella hard.
Thank you. Is it me, Chris, or do I smell the same, them running the same friggin' play they run every time this election season?
Yeah.
If, there's something wrong with your marriage, it's the gays. If you don't have a job, it's the brown people. Here we go again.
And maybe we can ask Ian Millhiser about it since he knows legal stuff.
Okay. Ian Millhiser, next on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Oh, you ancient bitch.
Thank you. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. 34 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. The president yesterday on the confirmation of Elena Kagan.
For nearly two centuries, there wasn't a single woman on our nation's highest court. When Elena takes her seat on that bench, for the first time in our history, there will be three women.
See, they were really funny when they announced decisions. Now the Supremes, mm-hmm. they would actually sing a Supreme song. The three of them, they're stop in the name of jurisprudence, something. You know what I'm saying? Get some dance steps going. No, all right.
Maybe.
What's Ian Millhiser, a fancy legal analyst for the Center for American Progress, joins us now. Good morning, Ian.
I'm still not that fancy, Stephanie.
You are. You have gotten fancier since we last spoke. This is good news, Elena Kagan. I love the what the headline is. She's a known for her brilliance, dry sense of humor, and a liberal bent. Let's hope the bent becomes an entire left U-turn. This court needs more than a bent, doesn't it?
Yeah, this court needs some serious kinks right now. I mean, we have got a court that is so out of step with the country, you know, thinks that corporations are just like people. And, you know, and if you dig into, you know, some of the things that Roberts has said, he would say that entire industry should have immunity from the law. Roberts actually joined a dissent where he said that when a drug company poisons someone, oh, no, there's no problem with that. The law doesn't have anything to say about that.
Yeah.
And so the good news is that we now have a new justice who's just not going to sign on to that agenda, nor is she going to sign on to this crazy notion that everything that Barack Obama does is unconstitutional. And that's the good news.
Yeah, I mean, Ian, I got to get your take on the Republicans' nifty new idea to start peeling the Constitution apart like so much string cheese because they don't like certain parts now, like the 14th Amendment.
No, that is exactly right. I mean, you know, apparently the framers were really, really smart. They sat down one day and they said, you know, someday this guy Barack Obama is going to be elected.
Yes.
So we are going to just coincidentally make everything that he stands for be unconstitutional. I mean,
it was the same people that were, you know, when he was born in Kenya, decided to put that thing in the paper in Hawaii, like that was going to throw us off.
Yeah, I don't know if they had tea leaves or crystal balls, but I mean, they must have really saw this one coming. That's exactly right. I mean, the right's agenda right now is everything they want to happen must be in the Constitution. You know, they don't like undocumented immigrants, then we must change the Constitution so that they can't be here. They don't like health reform, it must be unconstitutional.
Right.
They don't, you know, and if you go too far down their reasoning, it would mean things like Medicare is unconstitutional. It'd mean that the minimum wage is unconstitutional.
Right.
So, you know, it's a scary agenda.
Well, I mean, and these guys like Senator Kyle and Cornyn, I mean, you know, it really was amazing. I mean, they seem plays they run every time, you know, in terms of basically, you're a crazy judicial activist if you disagree with something they agree with, correct? I mean, that's the standard.
No, that's exactly right. I mean, it's really scary. We had a completely unobjectionable mainstream. I mean, I'm the sort of person, I do this stuff for a living. In my free time, I read constitutional histories. I'm a dork. And by the end of these hearings, I was bored.
Yeah, no, it was kind of a snooze fest.
You know, there was nothing to see here. And yet, when we have this unbelievably unobjectionable nominee, somehow she gets 37 votes against her. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, did you see this? Kyle accused her of lying, just like, you remember he did that play with Sotomayor. He proceeded to recite a long list of mythical claims about Kagan and then argue that she must have been lying at her confirmation hearing because her testimony doesn't square with the lies he just made up.
No, that's exactly, and they're ridiculous lies. I mean, I think part one of his list was that she has some secret campaign to impose Sharia law, you know, some radical vision of Islamic law upon the United States. I mean, are you kidding me? You want me to believe that this woman, you know, who grew up in Manhattan, is really in secret league with Osama bin Laden?
Yes. Yeah. Exactly. I know that was like the And then John Cornyn attacked her for refusing to endorse the frivolous argument that unelected judges should strike down the health care law enacted by elected representatives. And I know someone was saying it's not the first time Cornyn set the land speed record for self-contradiction. During Kagan's confirmation, he insisted that precedents he approves of are sacred, while precedents he disagrees with are blasphemy that must be overturned. I mean, that's the standard, right?
No, that's exactly right. And, you know, and let's be clear, this is something that's going on. You know, a Supreme Court nominee is really high profile, and so it's hard to filibuster. It's hard to block a Supreme Court nominee. But, you know, what they have been doing for decades is manipulating the lower courts. You know, at this point in the Bush administration, 72 judges had been confirmed. We're now only up to 40 for President Obama. So we have cut in half the number of judges who are getting confirmed. And they're doing this for one simple reason. They know as long as they control the courts, they can control the Constitution. And if they can control the Constitution, it doesn't matter what the people have to say. If something's unconstitutional, then it doesn't matter how people vote and who they put in office. It can't be done.
Right. Well, I mean, and you brought up Justice Roberts, and that is what scares me. He most famously, of course, promised to, quote, have the humility to recognize that judges operate within a system of precedent when he was up for confirmation. And he's now spent, of course, his entire time as Chief Justice ignoring precedents that conservatives don't like, right?
No, that's exactly right. I mean, you know, for some reason we're not supposed to use the word lying, so I will just say that, you know, John Roberts has apparently had a born-again moment since he became Chief Justice.
I think the legal term is liar, pants are on fire. I think if you were a...
You're a liar.
Yes.
Liar, pants on fire.
Yeah, no, I mean, there's absolutely no way to reconcile the vision that he gave. You know, and the vision that he gave of himself at his hearings was very appealing. You know, he said, look, democracy matters and judges should be very modest.
I'm just an umpire here, just the umpire. Move along.
Exactly. And I mean, I wish we'd gotten that guy. But what we got instead was we got someone who thinks that democracy only matters when it's conservative elected officials who are making laws.
Yeah. Ian, let me ask you, because obviously a lot of us out here in California and around the country concerned about the Prop 8, obviously a really great day out here when they overturned Prop 8. But obviously, you know, it's going to end up at the Supreme Court. And I'm nervous about the Roberts Court on this. Are you?
Well, the person to watch is Justice Kennedy. Mm-hmm. Kennedy has said that laws that are passed solely because of animus against a particular group, you know, animus against gay people, are unconstitutional. So I think we have a decent chance of getting Kennedy to take one look at Prop 8 and say, yeah, it's a whole lot of people who hate gay people behind this, and have the whole thing thrown out. I think it's less likely that the Supreme Court will go as far as Judge Walker did in his opinion. Judge Walker said essentially that virtually any discrimination against gay people is unconstitutional. And I think it's less likely that this Supreme Court is ready to go that far. But we have a chance of getting Justice Kennedy and, you know, and the four moderates, and that's enough to get us a majority.
Mm-hmm. So you are cautiously optimistic about the Supreme Court then as regards Prop 8?
I am very cautiously optimistic, but, you know, when you look at what Kennedy has said, you know, Kennedy has been good in the past. You know, he wrote the Romer decision, which said that you can't have animus against gay people. He wrote the Lawrence decision, which said that you're allowed to choose your sex partners. The government doesn't get to do that for you. Yeah, I know.
Well, I have horrible taste, so I would really prefer if the government wouldn't. But anyway, Ian, you know, I must say, I'm known as quite the happy, clappy liberal. Not a day goes by when I'm not calling an Obama apologist. But I have to say, the president on this one, I don't know if you saw David Axelrod twisting himself into a pretzel yesterday.
The president opposed Proposition 8 at the time. He felt that it was divisive. He felt that it was mean-spirited. And he opposed it at the time.
Oh, but then he went on, you know, it does put the president in a tough spot, right, who was going on record against gay marriage when I find, you know, as I follow, you know, as we talk to, you know, Ted Olson and others as this trial has gone on, Ian, it becomes hard to square legally anymore, doesn't it, the case against equality?
No, that's exactly right. The Constitution says that every person is entitled to equal protection of the law, and that means every person, gay or straight, black or white, man or woman. You know, it doesn't mean that it's every person except for people that Mitch McConnell finds icky.
And by the way, most people find Mitch McConnell icky. Just saying,
he is really icky. Yeah.
No, most people don't like cross-species sex with a turtle. But anyway,
Stop it.
Come on. It's, you know, it's hard to get him out of his shell. Listen, so Ian, I mean, how do you feel about that? How does the White House play this as this moves forward, you know, and toward the Supreme Court?
Well, I mean, I think that Obama's heart is in the right place in that, you know, I think deep down he knows how wrong marriage discrimination is. I think that he's making a bad political calculus. I mean, the future is on the side of equality. And,
right.
I think that for whatever reason, there's a lot of people out there who know what's right and for political reasons are afraid to say it.
Well, you know what?
I wish he wasn't.
Well, you know, and I've talked about this before. My mom's, my 87-year-old Republican mom. I remember years ago talking to her about this, and she was like, oh, well, Steph, that's just the way it's always been. And, you know, I don't think she's homophobic. I mean, so, you know, you do sort of understand that, like, that was sort of the common wisdom politically, right, Ian? That, you know, you can't be for gay marriage and, you know, win the presidency in this country. You have to, you know, straddle the fence, civil unions, yada, yada. But what I'm saying is, you know, when Ted Olson flanks you on the left, you know, what I'm saying is things have really, I mean, I think they've made such a really compelling bipartisan case for equal rights, don't you think?
No, I agree. And I mean, if I can respond to your mother, I guess, for a second, you know, the judge did a really great job of addressing this point that, like, tradition matters. And because in the past there was only opposite sex marriage, that means it has to stay that way in the future. You know, marriage has changed a lot in our history. It used to be that you couldn't have interracial marriage. It used to be that
right.
when a woman married a man, that man became lord over all of her property.
Right.
And now we recognize, here's what the judge said, is he said that the ban on single-sex marriage comes from an outdated belief that you need to have a man to be a breadwinner and a woman to be a homemaker.
Right.
We no longer believe that. And because we no longer believe in those sexist things, we can't have marriage discrimination either.
Listen, if the deadbeats my friends have dated are any indication, men are definitely not the breadwinner anymore. It's time, as Miss California would say, for opposite marriage. I feel better after talking to you in terms of the Supreme Court. So we'll see. I think, on the whole, plus the Elena Kagan confirmation, right?
No, that's right. I mean, I think that the Supreme Court, you know, it could go either way, but I really think it could go either way. You know, this is not a dog of a case.
And isn't that the entire point of Prop 8? Ha, ha, ha. All right.
Oh, stop it.
Ian Millhiser, fancy legal analyst for the Center for American Progress. Thank you, Ian. Thanks so much for your time.
Thank you.
All right. There he goes. Fancy legal guy.
You know what's discouraging about Prop 8 is that politicians on both sides of the aisle are – you know, just saying a couple of words about it and then just leaving it alone. They don't want anything to do with it.
Yeah.
Even Barbara Boxer said, okay, that's great, and then just moved on to something else.
Well, I mean, that's actually, to me, would be progress. We don't have to friggin' talk about this anymore. It's just equal rights, and let's move on. We've all got an economy to deal with and stuff to... But it's just... Yeah, David Axelrod, that was painful, David Axelrod.
Yeah,
did you
was.
See that? It was just, he's against poor, but he's, you know, not... It's like, oh...
Yeah, but they're not talking about it because it's not beneficial to them politically, and that's insulting.
47 minutes after the hour, right back with all the latest on that as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Welcome to the party barn. May we take your order? It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
And full leg cast and mobility scooter. Sexy. 52 minutes after
you're
the hour.
You're not looking so right.
Shush. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number toll free from anywhere. It's Friday.
Just
you know
saying.
What that means? I'm going to go home, drink box wine, and electrocute myself with my H-Wave. You know, I think you're right. It might be one of those infomercial things where you put these, like, pads on yourself and then you turn it up, but not to 11, someone told me. Don't turn it to 11.
No.
Because that's, And it actually goes, and it, like, makes your muscles go, nah, nah.
They sell those on late night television for lard asses who can't get up off the couch.
That's me. I've been snickered.
And exercise, yeah. Mm-hmm.
It did my entire P90X workout for me yesterday while I sat there snacking.
What would Tony Horton say?
Tony Horton doesn't hear a who. He doesn't know. Barry in New York, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Bear.
Good morning, Mama. How you
doing? Good morning, baby.
Hey, listen, I'd be surprised if any one of the people who ever listened to Rush Limbaugh ever read the Constitution. Actually, I'd be surprised if they could read it all.
Oh.
But I'd be amazed if Rush ever read it. But he said it, so I guess it must be true.
Yeah.
Also, all the stuff about Elena Kagan, I guess we've forgotten that Pat Buchanan said that if she was on the Supreme Court, that there would be three Jews on the Supreme Court. And I think that he gets a little bit of a bum rap because, about being anti-Semitic because I heard that his parents died in a concentration camp. They fell out of a guard tower.
Oh, come on.
No, that's not funny.
No.
Not funny at all.
No. Okay. What? There was a whiff of racism from Pat Buchanan? Why? I had no idea. I just cringe when Chris Matthews even goes to him on a racial issue. I'm like, no.
Yeah.
Okay. Karen in Los Angeles, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Karen.
Hey, Mama. I wish I don't know if the rest of the country knows how ungovernable California is and the fact that anything can go on our ballot.
Yep.
Oh, it's a ridiculous system, I'm telling you. Clearly, we're not qualified to run a state. We've run it into the ground.
Well, I mean, it doesn't pass the smell test. I mean, the Prop 187, it immediately went from being passed to the courts. We need to have any proposition that goes on, it needs to pass, like, a judicial panel or something to see if it even is.
Well, I mean, that's the thing. Exactly. That's why, you don't, we've never lived by mob rule. You know, minority rights aren't put to a majority vote. I mean, plus the ballot system here, Karen, it's like, they'll be like, would you guys like free ponies and lollipops and all of that? And then we're all like, yes.
Well,
then they're like, would you like to raise taxes? And then we're like, no taxes. So no wonder we're bankrupt.
And they tend to load these proposition votes into the off elections, like the ones in March and May, the ones that people don't go to, and so you just get activists voting on them, and the craziest things get put in.
Inside the grocery store, and they don't realize that these are just people who are like, Ilana signed this proposition, I get $1 for every signature.
Yeah, right.
They don't even know what they don't even know what you're signing.
I know. No, it's ridiculous. We had that hilarious guy on, Karen. Who is that, Chris, that is going to put on the ballot no divorce?
Mm-hmm.
If you're really for,
that's
marriage, you really, divorce would be immediately illegal in California.
Yeah, that would be brilliant. Let's just let let more men beat women.
Yeah.
That's sanity. It's like, come on.
Right.
Yep, exactly. Thank you, Karen.
Why do we even vote people into our state legislature anyway if we have the proposition system?
It just should be more like Lord of the Flies. Anybody that says things we don't like, we just kill them with a giant rock.
We elect people to make these kinds of decisions for us. That's what they're there for.
Joe in Buffalo.
Hey, Steph.
Hello, Joe.
Class of Lockport 83. Lived in the South 20 years.
Oh, my goodness.
Lived through Hardwick versus Bowers.
Mm-hmm.
And now, after this decision, I feel like a real American citizen again.
Yep. It has humanized homosexuals, if only temporarily.
I mean, I live in Olcott Beach now. And
you live in Olcott?
Yeah.
We used to have a little summer cottage there.
Well, I look right
on the lake.
I look right across the lake.
Wow. I don't remember it. We got rid of all that. We got rid of all the trappings of political life.
Well, it's cleaned up and looking
That was a trapping of political life?
I guess so. They got rid of it after the election or what. I don't remember it. I was just a tot.
But it's gorgeous this summer here.
Yeah, I love it. Oh, what's the place where you get the fried clams? We used to go there in high school. What was
Honey, it's gone.
Oh, no. Oh, damn.
Yep, it burnt down a couple of years ago. Main Street's all cleaned up with a gazebo and looking great around here.
Gazebo. Oh, pardon me, everybody. It's Lockport and Olcott talk. Thank you, Joe. I appreciate it. Sorry, I went down. Where's my nostalgia music? I went down memory lane. Why? I'm surprised I don't weigh 6,000 pounds now. I used to go get fried clams with my high school beau, Damien Brady. Oh, Olcott, we used to ride the bumper cars.
He's gay now, you know.
No, he is not. He's married and has children.
As far as you know.
That's another one. Another couple of boyfriends, not that one.
Oh.
Marcia in Los Angeles, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Yes, good morning, Stephanie.
Yes.
I just wanted to say that I think that the Democratic base, we are depressed and demoralized because of our very weak-natured, mealy-mouthed politicians who can't stand up to the Republicans. And every time you look on TV, with the exception of Paul Pagala or...
Yeah, that's why he's the best pundit in the world. All right, 58 minutes after the hour, Christian Weller, economist extraordinaire, next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Friday, everybody. 6 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEPH-1-2, the phone number, toll free from anywhere, stephaniemiller.com, the website, check it out. All Rise voice deity Jim Ward's here.
Hello.
You can email him at stephaniemiller.com, executive producer Chris Lemoy, or me, Stephanie Miller, there he is. All right, if you're driving, please sit down. Kathy in Warrenville, Illinois, writes, Pet Airways, another reason why Pet Airways is the wonderful alternative to commercial airline transport of pets. Apparently, I didn't even want to hear the story. An airline, seven puppies died due to heat extremes. They should never have allowed these pets to be transported. Thanks for supporting Pet Airways. These puppies were en route to Chicago and O'Hare. Pet Airways. Do it. That's how Max and Fred got home from New York.
Pet Airways does it right.
Yes. I can't even watch that new ASPCA commercial. Have you seen it? Oh, God, with the Elton Johns. I can't do it. I thought the Sarah McLachlan song one was bad enough. This one is just, Help an animal today, won't you? Go to GentleGiantsRescue.com. Oh, I didn't tell you guys a magical story.
But what if you want to rescue small animals?
They have other kinds, too. Well, you can go. There's lots of rescue places to go to.
Well, then maybe a name changes in order.
I happen to get mine at GentleGiantsRescue.com. Oh, here, you know how you guys think I'm a big, giant loser with no life?
Yeah.
Which is generally true. I had one of the highlights of my life the other day. I went shopping at the Gelson's Market, where they now carry Gentle Giants Rescue food,
okay.
Dog food, which is terrific. And guess whose picture is on the new bag?
Yours.
Yes.
Wow. Miller.
I made my friend take a picture of it. Look, I'm on the dog food bag. You thought I'd never amount to anything. There. All right.
How sad are you? Wow.
Really sad. Really, really sad.
I'm in the dog food bag.
Seriously, it was the highlight of my week. I hobbled in on my crutches to get some food, and I was like,
You were in there on your crutches? How did you carry a bag like that out?
I had a friend help me. People must help Grandma these days. I came in on my crutches, and then I had the nice man help me out.
You have a minder.
Sorry. All right. Tommy in Columbus writes, Steph, did a caller yesterday ask you to pee on his foot? Yes.
Computer said yes.
What happened to good old-fashioned man on top, woman on the bottom? Under the sheets, lights off, wham, bam, thank you, ma'am, 45 seconds, and then the man falls asleep kind of love. Why has it gone so weird? Two words, the gays. Yeah, that's probably what it is.
Yeah, they've ruined everything.
What it is. All right, lots to get to. We have Ted Boutros.
Boutros?
Golly. Next hour, Ted Olson's Law Partner in Prop 8. Lots to get to. Christian Weller from RoboCop and Fancy Economist Guy joins us now as usual. Good morning, Christian.
Good morning, Stephanie. Thank you very much for having me.
Thank you for being had, as always. Christian, the unemployment rate the same, right? 9.5. Is there anything... I guess because that's the, you know, you can talk about this till the cows come home, but everybody wants to know where are the jobs, when, you know, are things going to change on that front?
my bad. Once you scratch below the surface, the numbers are actually not as bad as it looks at first blush. We have added 71,000 jobs in the private sector. The overall numbers have declined largely because the census workers are being let go, the temporary workers. But the 71,000 jobs in the private sector is not the only good news. The other two pieces of good news that are very important for people to understand is that the average hours have also gone up. And so the people who have jobs are now working longer and thereby making more money. And that's certainly a big piece of good news. And then the other part is that the wages keep going up. So there's a number of pieces moving all in the right direction, showing that people are making more money. There's more money coming from businesses to people, and we hope that that will basically create this virtuous cycle where people have more money, they're going to spend it, and that will lead to more investment, which drives the economy up and which leads to more hiring. And it comes a little later than we would have liked, but it's going the right direction, and it seems to be gaining steam.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's funny. A lot of times, you know, you get these numbers, but, you know, anecdotally, I think, is how people tend to live. It's how are they doing, how are their friends and family doing. And it's funny, just anecdotally for me, one of my friends who has been out of work for, God, at least 2 years just got a job. So, you know, it does seem like for some people I know, things are getting moderately better.
They get better in a number of sectors. Manufacturing is hiring. Commercial construction is hiring. We've lost some jobs in finance, but that's basically related to the end of this big mortgage boom that we saw in April and May due to the tax incentives. So I expect finance to turn to positive numbers soon again. We've added jobs in education and healthcare. So the things are moving in the right direction. They could be faster. And the other part is, and I think we really need to acknowledge this, is that the hole that we're in is so deep. 9.5% unemployment. We have 45% of those who are unemployed out of a job for more than 6 months. Those are really bad numbers. And we need a lot more jobs, and we need them faster to come faster. And we need to pay continued policy attention on what works and also continued policy attention on what didn't work. And I mean very clearly, the Bush tax cuts for the rich didn't work to create jobs. And we have a very heated discussion in Washington over whether we should extend them. And the answer should be a resounding no. They didn't work to create jobs in the 2000s, and taking them back won't hurt the
economy. When the guy that thought of them, Alan Greenspan, admits that was a bad idea, then I think, you know,
I wonder how Republican strategists are going to spin this one, how they're going to distance themselves from Alan Greenspan.
Yeah, I know. Well, and Christian, you brought up the housing market. Let's bring it to the most important subject, and that is
Stephanie Miller.
Yes, Jim, thank you. Now, because it is, you know, it's interesting. It is tough, even being an economist, I imagine, Christian, just because you don't have a crystal ball. I think I've mentioned this before. I got a loan when they were giving them out like candy. I wasn't working at the time for like a year. I got like a no-doc loan. I think it's interest only. So, you know, even people that are making decisions like that in the housing market, you know, I had a 5-year adjustable. So that's up now. You know what I mean? So I'm not protected, right? So rates, but of course now I'm paying literally like half the rate I was because things are so bad, right? But people aren't protected because it could go, the interest rates could go anywhere. What is your take on that?
There's a little bit of a silver lining.
Do I refinance or not?
I'm not going to give financial advice.
Oh, come on.
Yeah, good.
Come on.
Good.
We have it on tape so I can sue you later if you make the wrong.
Stop it, Stephanie.
Especially after disclosure that you have a no-doc loan. But I think there is a silver lining here in the numbers that we, as economists, were very afraid that the resetting of these adjustable-rate mortgages would really tank the economy, would do a number on the labor housing market. The fact that the interest rates are so low certainly helps. We scratch our heads a little bit of why the interest rates are so low. The U.S. economy is actually doing reasonably well. Economically speaking, if you look at economic growth, it's reasonable. It's stronger than in many other parts of the industrialized world. So what really seems to influence the low interest rates is that the rest of the world is still bringing oodles of cash here, meaning China, Japan, Germany, Switzerland, the OPEC countries. They have lots of money, and the U.S. is the best place to invest it. That helps us and certainly strengthens the recovery. I think it's a little hard to say that the low interest rates are a reflection of a bad economy. Yes, the economy should be stronger, but we're not tanking anymore. So the fact
people...
that interest rates are going down is a reflection that there's just a lot of money around.
Well, right, but so people would say, I mean, it would make sense to either buy or refinance if you're in my position when interest rates are low. But my point is that if I do that, I mean, I'm going to be paying double what I'm paying now. So, you know, you can just take your chances in the housing market, right, and say, well, yeah, this could it could go anywhere, but I mean...
Right. The other part is, I mean, I think something to think about is that as the economy is gaining steam and all of the indications from the labor market numbers, from the gross domestic product numbers, everything says the economy is gaining steam. And you couple that with these large deficits that we're looking at for the long term, those two things together should ultimately lead to higher interest rates within a year or two.
I'm just going to ride it out then.
I'm not giving financial advice, but I think if you put these things together, they tend to indicate that we're seeing higher interest rates in the long run.
Christian, let's talk about Medicare. Medicare in better shape because of President Obama's health care overhaul will stay afloat about a dozen years longer than earlier projected, the trustees forecast yesterday.
The Medicare and the Social Security Trustees report. I know a little bit more about the Social Security. I actually know a lot more about the Social Security Trustees report than about the Medicare one.
Right. That one's not so good.
Well, no, actually, if you look at the numbers, the Social Security one is very good, despite the fact that we come out of the worst recession in years. The long-term outlook hasn't changed. Yes, we lost a few years because of the recession that should be expected, but it can pay full benefits to 2037, and the trustees now project that wages will grow faster than in the past because of healthcare reform. The logic here is because what healthcare reform does is it reduces the cost of health insurance. Thereby, the employers have more money to pay out in wages. That means there's more money coming into Social Security over the long run. So the healthcare reform bill was a good down payment in helping both Medicare and Social Security achieve more long-term solvency.
Well, that's why it must be repealed immediately. And thank God the Republicans are hard at work on that already. Christian Weller, fancy economist guy for the Center for American Progress. Thanks, as always, for your time, Christian.
Thank you very much, Stephanie.
All right, there goes the fancy economy.
Have you had your house appraised lately?
No.
Oh, dear.
We had one appraiser come out who valued it about the same. The land itself was worth what? Yeah. So someone must be making money off people undervaluing houses in these appraisals.
Yeah, I don't. I'm a bit of a gambler now. It's Vegas, baby. Vegas every day with my mortgage. I mean, who knows where the rate could go?
I mean, I'm paying property taxes based on a much higher estimate than this guy gave, about $200,000 higher.
Yeah, well, you know, it costs money to refinance. My accountant said, you know, if you tell me you're going to die and you want to die in this house, I'm like, well, with the way I'm going, chances are I'm going to die.
How soon do you want to die in this house?
Fairly soon.
Because we want it.
Although you can get no-cost refinances. Yeah. I know
no.
this. I'm getting one.
Well, yes, you can. I know this because I do a mortgage show on the weekends here on our local station.
Well, let me talk to you when we come back, Mr. Infomercial Man. 18
Infomercial Man.
18 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Wow, how does this show stay so fresh?
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show.
Is it? Would it be a good night?
3 minutes. Listen, I have a brand new medical device and a brand new box of wine. What could go wrong? 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. I have a new medical device, Jim, that allows me to electrocute myself, which may be not the best idea for a drinker. But it's there next to my bone stimulator, my H-wave machine.
Yeah, no, electrostim is actually good for unloosening muscles. I had that when my back.
Sure, absolutely.
Yes, you can use it for back pain. It's and also to help my little atrophied muscles.
But I also point out...
I did not get leg equality yesterday, Jim. I have a cast for two more weeks.
But I also point out it's also sold on late night television infomercials for lard asses who can't get up off the couch and exercise.
100 pounds in 2 days of sitting on your couch eating Cheetos.
It comes free with a fat bastard.
Guaranteed.
By the fat bastard.
By which we mean, once we suckered you into paying for it, we'll give you part of your money back.
Deirdre in Annapolis, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Welcome. So my 4-year-old grandson always calls you folks my radio friends.
Aw, we are your radio friends.
And when we're riding in the car and you say inappropriate things, I'll look in the rearview mirror and he'll say, Mimi, that's not right, is it?
Smart kid.
You'll be like, no, son, it's not.
No, he's my grandson.
Oh.
In any case, I'm here to talk about the proud Naval Academy graduates, both Ollie North and John McKay. I live in Annapolis. My husband went to the Naval Academy. My husband's a retired Marine. But these two losers, Ollie North, first of all, is a lieutenant colonel. He never made it to colonel.
Oh, okay.
So
I stand corrected.
Well, I could correct you on everything, Republican. But in any
he never made it to prison, and he deserved that, too. So
he did deserve that, and he deserved and the fact that he gets paid for anything when he should be sitting in prison for what he did to this country and for what he did to President Reagan. And I'm not a fan of President Reagan, but he lied to President Reagan and then lied to Congress. Bill Clinton lied about an affair.
Right.
Didn't sell arms to Iraq to get oil for the same.
Yep.
I mean, the whole thing.
Oh, Deirdre, hang on. Speaking of Bill Clinton, let me give you the biggest wheel of right-wing hypocrites ever, all right? You ready? Here we go.
Wheel of right-wing hypocrites!
Hold on now, Jim. Thrice-married serial adulterer Newt Gingrich outraged about Prop 8, I tell you. Outraged!
Frankly, this is an outrage. The institution of marriage has to be protected from people like me. From the homos, frankly. I'm going to do it again and again until I get it right, frankly.
Judge Walker's ruling overturning Prop 8 is an outrageous disrespect for our Constitution and for the majority of people in the United States who believe marriage is a union of husband and wife.
And wife. Well, and girlfriend and wife.
Girlfriend, wife. Mistress, wife.
Intern, mistress. Wife, yeah.
Congress, frankly, now has the responsibility to act immediately to reaffirm marriage as a union of one man and one woman as our national policy. As someone writes, Newt Gingrich, who would like to remind you that marriage is between one man and one woman whom you abandon, riddled with cancer on her hospital bed while you the out of your next wife, whom you later cheat on while screaming with godly moral outrage about the infidelities of the president. Thank you, Newt.
And he wants to be president.
You really feel like you're just, when you go, oh, no, you're really not, are you? No, you're really not going to say something about that. There he goes.
He thinks we have amnesia.
Richard in Reading, England. Why, my goodness.
Yeah, hello.
Hello, Richard.
Yeah. No, about this Prop 8 thing, I mean, you've got to remember that Prop 22 came first. Then that was overturned by the state Supreme Court in California. Prop 8 was a reaction to the state Supreme Court. Now that's been chucked out in another court. So
I think the important thing, Richard, is can you get us a better rate on our car insurance?
You could do in Britain, yeah.
Scottish accent. It's not the gecko.
You know, I apologize.
I mean, America is just a rip-off for everything. I can get health insurance over here in Britain. It costs you nothing.
Yep,
absolutely.
Countries in Europe, those socialist hellholes, people actually are very happy with these.
Yep.
Yeah, every time the right fear-mongers about them and then you hear about it, you're like, that sounds really good.
I lived in Europe for 3.5 years.
Yeah.
It's.
By the way...
It's not a third-world backwater.
No, it's not.
I think, as we mentioned, John Fugelsang's father passed away. The funeral was yesterday. You can send him a message on Facebook or go to johnfugelsang.com.
Mm-hmm.
And he will be back. He will be back with us next week. But send him your thoughts and prayers. In the meantime, Mike, because he is the ecclesiastical MOOC.
Yes. Oh, really?
If you could.
One?
Yes. If you could take your organ out for me. Staff, in the absence of John Fugelsang, I thought I would provide some assistance. Many a conservative Christian or Jew likes to bring up Sodom and Gomorrah as evidence of God's disapproval of homosexuality. They fail to mention that what occurred in Sodom and Gomorrah is correctly classified as rape, regardless of what gender are involved. There was nothing consensual about those events. It should also be noted that in the same chapter of Genesis, Lot's daughters get him drunk so that they can get freaky with their father to carry on their bloodline. Since no description is mentioned in the scripture about that, one can only conclude that God was cool with it. I don't know what I did. P.S. In my own home state of Texas, Melissa Etheridge cannot marry a woman, but Chaz Bono can. Sleep tight, right-wingers. Mike. In Texas.
Frankly, that's traditional marriage right there. Daughters with the dad. Frankly, that's something I encourage, frankly. Mm. As long as it's not two dudes or two chicks.
That's what I've always been told, by the way, by a theologian of some, I can't remember who.
Some repute,
that Sodom and Gomorrah was about promiscuity. It was not about homosexuality,
right.
But...
yeah.
All right. 29 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
It was so complicated and dramatic and exotically beautiful.
34 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Don't forget, Mondays means Rude Pundit and Mondays with McClurg, the wildly popular new Edie McClurg hour with us on Mondays.
And Eric Bollert, whom you apparently have a crush on now.
He's hot. Who knew? I see him all the time now on the TV machine. All right. 1-800.
Wow. I'll be sure and let him know that.
Please. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number, toll free.
He's never calling again.
Yeah, he is.
Well, he can't wait to get off the phone with you when you talk to him. So
his phone manner is a little abrupt at the end. He's always like, okay, see ya. I'll talk to you guys.
Yeah, I got to go.
He's already like, you can tell he, like, he's talking from the parking structure when he, okay, Stephanie, great talking to you.
Yeah, great. Okay, I got stuff to do.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Mm-hmm. It's endearing.
Bye-bye, then.
Mm-hmm. I got a thing with the guy by that place over there. By that
Pardon
thing.
Me? Yeah. Anyway, he always has a thing down the place somewhere. All right. So we've been obviously covering the breaking news about the overturning of Prop 8 out here in California. We will talk to Ted Boutros, Ted Olson's law partner.
Not partner.
No.
Yeah, you should
about
really
what's
make
next
that clear.
For the appeals process. Yes. You know, kids, as you know, I'm a happy clappy liberal. Happy clappy time. But, Jim, did you see David Axelrod twisting himself into a...
No, I missed that.
Pretzel.
I mean, he's a big guy to be twisting himself into a pretzel.
No, it just was kind of painful to watch the whole... the president, I mean, it obviously, you know, there's been a lot of news stories about this, and it puts, the California ruling puts him in a tough spot, and, but it just, when you are getting flanked on the left by Ted Olson and others,
yeah.
Other Republicans, it just, because, you know, it's part of this whole movement. I love, did you see Rachel Maddow the other night pointed out that she played old tape from election night?
Mm-hmm.
Where Chris Matthews is like on, look at him celebrating in the Castro over Obama, look at them partying, and Rachel's like, I don't know if they're celebrating if that's the Castro, because,
yeah,
you know,
yeah.
People talked about that. Gay people on election night were so elated that Obama was elected and then so heartbroken over Prop 8, and it, you know.
Well, a lot of people are heartbroken about a lot of things, about the Obama administration.
Well, right.
There he goes again, poking you with that sharp stick.
See, yes, and I know,
you know, I know,
I get called an Obama apologist every day, but on this one, I really do think this one, you can't straddle, there is no such thing, I mean,
straddle.
Equality is equality. You can't, equal rights are equal rights. I just think that this is a tough one to just keep straddling, you know? And I have to say, I've even admitted this on the air, I did years ago, when this whole discussion has happened in the country, I just was sort of like, oh, well, you know, as long as people have the same rights, what difference, you know, what you call it.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Like, the civil unions thing. But I'm saying thinking has evolved. And Obama ran and won on being part of a whole new generation, elected by a lot of young, you know, much younger people than normally get involved in the political process. And as everybody says, when you go younger and younger in these polls, people, even Republican kids... Mm-hmm.
Right.
Well, then
it's not a big deal anymore.
Well, then how did Prop 8 get passed if so many young people went to the polls?
About a zillion machines.
About a zillion Mormon dollars, first of all.
We don't know.
But the other thing
how our votes are being counted.
Right, but the other thing is the Yes on Eight people. And we talked about this, Chris, during the thing. Is they also put out those really misleading flyers that the president was on their side, and he was not. But you know, again, that's one thing he could have made clearer too during the election that he was not for Prop 8.
It's a political hot potato. No politician wants to get near gay marriage.
It's so ridiculous.
Exactly.
At this point.
That's my question.
A federal judge ruling striking down California's ban on same-sex marriage is a historic, possibly pivotal legal victory. I mean, this is going to the Supreme Court. This is, you know, this is big, no matter how what side you're on. But the decision poses a formidable threat to President Obama's strategy of relegating divisive social issues to the back burner.
Well,
I mean, Jim, do I say this every time? They're going to do it again.
Yeah.
Brown people and gay people, time to fearmonger.
Well, Harry Truman, at the time when allow black people to serve openly in the military in the same units as white people. At the time, 7% of non-coms and officers thought that that was a good idea. 7%, but he pushed it through anyway, and he was a one-term president. So you can stand on principle, but you may have to face the consequences that you're not going to get a second term. Because there still are a lot of racist people, as we know, from those rallies, and a lot of homophobic people, so...
Well, I guess, except that, you know, if you look at the polling, Jim, it really has gotten, I mean, there really has been a huge turnaround. When you look at one issue after another, whether it's Don't Ask, Don't Tell.
But
you
it's
know,
still straddling the 50% line.
No, I got it. I got it on gay marriage, exactly.
Yeah.
But part of it would be if, you know, the president would get out there like a Ted Olson has and make a compelling case
but
for
Ted
it.
But Ted Olson isn't running right
now. Ted Olson doesn't have to win an election.
Anyway, so gays and lesbians obviously uneasy with Obama's nuanced position on gay marriage. Because I'm saying some issues, I get it. Well, you have to, you know, because of votes, you got to reach across the aisle. You've got to be bipartisan. This, I just think, on a civil right, there is no way to be kind of, I'm sort of for... I mean, how could you? I mean, what if he were sort of for black people being able to marry white people back in the day? You know,
has the president even come out and said one word about it? No,
I don't think so.
The
no.
White House has issued, you know, a namby-pamby statement.
During the 2008 campaign, Obama took what on many on both sides thought was viewed as a straddle. He publicly announced his opposition to same-sex marriage, but also said he opposed the California ballot measure seeking to ban it.
par for the course. Yes and no.
One gay activist said his proposition on Prop 8 has always been clear. What has not been clear is how he squares his position for equality with his refusal to embrace actual equality in marriage. That is unclear, increasingly unclear, and there's no good reason to explain it. That's an unsatisfying position that does nothing but frustrate those of us who took him as champion he promised to be. He's not gaining anything, and Judge Walker just made that crystal clear.
Very, very good friends of mine who are centrist Democrats believe very strongly in traditional marriage, but they believe that gays should have civil unions. They should have the same rights, just don't call it marriage.
That's separate.
And, you know, they're entitled to their opinion.
That's my point. I used to think that, too.
I say call it whatever you want. I mean...
That's what I used to say, but Jim, I'm just saying if you're reading these arguments, just legally, you're realizing that it really is that separate but unequal. You can't square that legally anymore. If you read this decision... Same-sex marriage opponents also view Obama's position as unsustainable. He's got to show his card, said someone that's, you know, an opponent of same-sex marriage. One Obama aide said he supports civil unions and doesn't personally support gay marriage, though he supports repealing the Defense of Marriage Act and has opposed divisive and discriminatory initiatives like
Don't Obama. Not oppose the potential for kind of a semi quasi in the middle kind of a thingy, which is kind of neither fish nor fowl.
Yeah, this isn't sneakily playing politics. This is outright playing politics, and it's insulting and disgusting.
Yeah, someone from Freedom to Marry said, when President Bill Clinton, the president who signed the Defense of Marriage Act into law, has now called for overturning it and supports Freedom to Marry, joined by people like Cindy McCain and Laura Bush, President Obama needs to get on the right side of the cause of justice. And I agree on that one. Although, you know, Jim, you could make the point President Clinton isn't running for anything now.
Right.
I mean, there are people that went, now he's for overturning Don't Tell, and now he's for, you know, no Defense of Marriage Act.
As I said, Harry Truman was a one-termer.
Mm-hmm.
He did what he thought was right.
Here's the dilemma, by the way. So on the other side of it, though, you go, Who was it we had on yesterday? Said, "Oh, I'm not really partisan." Oh, Shelley Wright. I'm going to have to nail her to the wall about this one. She goes, "Oh, I'm not really, you know, Democrat or Republican." But you go, Republicans.
She's a country singer. She's got to say that.
Yeah.
but you know what I'm saying? But Republicans are blatant gay bashers. I mean, you know what I mean? How can you go?
It's written into their platform.
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, that's where, you know, I don't want to get into that political, like, oh, where else are you going to go if you, you know, but it's like Sharon Angle, for instance, did you see this? She believes clergy should be allowed to endorse candidates from the pulpit and opposes laws allowing gays to adopt children, according to a questionnaire that was just obtained that
she
filled out.
Did she give a reason why?
Oh, there's no reason. Because she's crazy.
Because it's icky.
She's crazy.
If I hear that because it's icky.
Those people give me the willies. Well, not literally.
Angle would oppose making sexual orientation a protected minority in civil rights cases.
Right.
So, poof. Whoa. Gays would just basically disappear in her world.
Exactly.
In
Las Vegas ain't gonna run without gays.
Yeah.
I'll tell you that
good
right
luck
now.
With that.
A day without a gay.
Good luck without the gays and the booze. In a section on school prayer, she affirms that students and teachers should be able to talk openly about religion in schools, including the right to publicly acknowledge the Creator. Engel said she would vote in Congress to prohibit abortion in all cases.
Yeah, even incest and rape.
Yeah, because
it's God's will.
And rape. Yep.
Oh,
yeah.
Yes, or health of the mother, anything, yeah. Asked on the program if the separation of church and state arises out of the Constitution, she answered no.
If Sharon Angle banned gays, her hair would be so yesterday.
Her hair is already a mess.
So yesterday.
Oh, God, she's just deeply crazy. Seriously. Is there a chance she is going to get into the United States Senate?
Fortunately, there's a strong Democrat running against her who is the force of his personality alone would carry him through.
When I was in Vegas last weekend, I saw quite a few Sharon Angle bumper stickers. It was actually very...
Gack.
Right. It's serious.
No, no booze in Vegas.
Gulp.
Yeah. Good luck with that.
Gulp. Dan in Michigan, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Hi, Stephanie. You guys make my day so bright. I don't understand why, if Barack Obama is a constitutional scholar, he doesn't use the cover of the Constitution requires equal protection. Gays have to be allowed to marry. That's his expertise, is the Constitution.
Yeah.
So he could take cover in that and protect his position politically, I would hope.
That's true.
Yeah, well, that's why the Republicans want to peel the 14th Amendment out of their, like, string
equal
cheese.
Equal protection, that's gay.
You can magically get rid of the Browns and the gays. That's the brown gay part of the Constitution. We don't need that.
And French.
Mary in Rochester, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Hi, Stephanie. Today's my birthday. I was wondering...
Oh, you and Neil Armstrong.
It was Lucille Ball's birthday.
Oh, cool.
Happy birthday.
And I was wondering if Jim could sing Happy Birthday to me and Fred Mertz.
As Fred Mertz.
Wow.
Yeah,
we might have to do that after the break so Jim can watch an episode of I Love Lucy.
Oh, come on. You've done Fred before.
What was your name? What was your name?
Mary.
Oh, okay.
Hi, Mary. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Mary. Happy birthday to you. Oh, my pants just slipped up another foot.
All right. Thank you, Mary. There you go. Wow, that was the most obscure request ever.
Have you ever done Fred Mertz on this show?
I think so. Yeah, I think so. Crawley, he was famous for the pants that came up to his armpits.
Yeah.
You know.
By the way, Tommy has made a request. Oh, actually, it's not even a request. Tom Brokaw is actually moderating. What is he moderating?
It's the debate. Between Meg Whitman and Jerry Brown.
Oh, there is a God. We'll be back with that in a moment.
By the way, someone told me that that William Frawley was gay.
Really?
Yes.
Gays really? Fred Mertz?
The movie industry?
William Frawley, the guy who played Fred
Ricky.
Mertz. Yeah. I don't have proof of that, but someone told me that.
Someone told me that you had a girlfriend who lived on a boyfriend.
Interesting. 46 minutes after the hour, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It's life-altering, it's soul-changing, it's the summit of all human desire.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller. Stephanie Miller.
Yeah, baby. It is the Stephanie Miller Show, 51 minutes after the hour.
I should correct something. The article I was reading about Neil Armstrong was posted yesterday. So, in fact, his birthday was so yesterday.
So yesterday.
But happy 80th.
And his hair would be, too, if he still had any.
1-800. So yesterday.
1-800-STEPH-12.
Means he was nearly 40 when he was on Apollo 11, which was... ancient in those days.
Speaking of California politics, sometimes the breaking news is just that there is a God. Tom Brokaw will moderate the California gubernatorial debate between Jerry Brown and Meg Whitman. Still my heart. Okay. Yes.
Mm-hmm. This is Tom Brokaw, formerly on NBC Nightly News. I am delighted and elated to be the sole questioner of the October 12th gubernatorial debate between former Governor Jerry Brown and Meg Whitman at Dominican University at San Rafael, California. I will elucidate the problems related to both campaigns, specifically Meg Whitman's lack of accessibility and Jerry Brown's lack of fully developed policy proposals. I will also ask questions regarding employment, the San Andreas Fault, the homeless population in Los Angeles, parklands, wetlands, grasslands, and illegal lesbian love between gal pals.
Thank you, Tom.
I don't know if he's going to ask those questions.
But one would hope. Tracy in Los Angeles. We're just going to send questions with L words from now until the debate. Tracy, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Hi, guys.
Hello.
You know, I called in after the election and said the same thing, but I don't know if it was Chris or Jim who said, you know, why did Prop 8 pass? And it basically was yes meant no, and no meant yes.
Yeah,
right. There was confusion.
Well, you know, our friend Margaret Cho was on and talked about that. She did a commercial for that because, they did a commercial to try to clarify,
right.
But it might have been too late.
Well,
you know what? And even the commercial was confusing. It was just very confusing to wrap your head around.
Against not gay straight marriage.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
What? Huh?
Thank
I don't
you.
Know.
What? I'm against double negatives. All right, let's go to Heidi in Madison. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Heidi.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. Yeah, I just wanted to comment on Stephanie's earlier remarks about how when some folks are on the fence, they are more in support of civil unions because it's the same amount of protections.
Right. Well, Jim was saying his centrist Democrat friends are for civil unions, not gay marriage, and I'm just saying, Heidi, the more and more I have talked to legal experts, I just think that gets hard to justify legally.
Yeah, I feel that civil unions are just, they're not enough. I mean, I've studied social policy and I've studied this marriage issue, and there are over 1,000 federal benefits that come with legalizing marriage for same-sex couples.
Right, and that's why it's not, it is, you know, like you say, separate
so
but not equal,
thing.
Because we make gays jump through all these amazing number of hoops. You
expensive
know,
hoops to hire all these lawyers to jump through
very
these hoops.
Very expensive hoops.
Yeah.
Hoops for inheritance, hoops for
Cirque du Soleil hoops.
We need cheaper hoops, clearly.
Yeah, exactly.
Yep. All right. Thank you, honey. Appreciate it. Let's go to carry the more divided message. Charles in Los Angeles. Hello, Charles.
Yes, definitely. First of all, if they were to legalize bigamy, I'd be courting you right about
it. Hello now. What does Mrs. Charles think about that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Hey, on this thing, I understand what the president, his position is the same as a lot of other people that the gays should have the same civil rights, the same legislation, you know, all the, you know, the hospital visitation and all that, but that the term marriage should be reserved for a man and a woman. That's how a lot of people define marriage.
Well, right, Charles, but we've been saying that, you know, and I was talking about my mom, who's, you know, really good-hearted and just was like, well, Steph, that's the way it's always been. But, you know, you have to look back, and that's the way it always was a lot of ways. You know, black people couldn't marry white people.
Yeah,
women couldn't vote. Women could, you know.
Doesn't apply because, first of all, you know, gays weren't brought over here to be slaves. I mean, you had gay slave masters, right? So there's really no equation there between those.
What
the
do you
black
base that
the
there
gay.
Were? What do you base that there were a lot of gay slave masters?
I say that there were some were gay, some were gay, some were child molesters. You know, so just to make that equivalent. No,
I guess
no,
I haven't read a lot of biographies of gay slave masters, but all right.
Homosexuals that were denied the right to vote. right, because they were homosexual. They were, you know, you didn't have all these laws in place that denied.
Yeah, but see, Charles, I don't know why we always have to make these analogies. I mean, you know, I think we can, it can be stipulated slavery is, was a horrible, horrible thing, but how do you have,
all I'm saying,
what should I have to do with everybody getting equal rights?
What I'm saying is make the case, but you don't have to try to make an equivalence with
yeah. Right, but you can't say gay people don't deserve rights because black people are slaves.
I start off saying they do deserve the same civil rights. The problem is the definition. For millions of Americans, the definition should be one man and one woman, just like bigamy.
But why?
Is considered married to two people, or polygamy is married to four. Let me ask you this.
Just go back, because I think people keep saying the same things over and over again without really examining in their own hearts and minds why. When you say it's man and woman, why? Why? I mean, how does that hurt your marriage to Mrs. Charles that appears against the bigamist marriage with me? How does that affect your marriage?
It's the same with bigamy and polygamy.
But
right?
It's not.
Why not make those legal? If we're going to legalize
But
gay
why
marriage,
are you
but,
going to the slippery slope argument? We're
right.
not talking about
well,
more than...
It's not that slippery. I mean, it's all over the world. I mean, in many countries, it's legal, bigamy and polygamy. So why not make
Where
it legal?
Where is it legal?
In other countries.
Where?
Countries.
No, it's not.
Yeah. No, it's not, Charles.
How is allowing gay people to get married going to lead to
Africa
polygamy?
In the People's Republic of Bow-chicka-bow-wow.
Everybody knows. Certain Arab countries, polygamy and bigamy is legal.
Okay.
That's going on
Yeah,
right
okay,
now
Saudi Arabia, whatever. But I don't understand. But in this country, that is not what we're, that is not what's on the, what we're talking about.
Right. Marriage is between two people.
Yeah, a man and a woman. Now you want to change the definition. So
I don't want to. The 14th Amendment states.
If you're going to change it if you want to expand it to include a man and a man, why not legalize bigamy and polygamy? What's wrong
Because
with that?
It's not the same thing. And all right, Charles, thank you for playing really bad analogies. Yeah. We appreciate you.
Well, I mean.
It's like it's a slippery slope and slide.
Playing really bad analogies.
You know, and race and gender issues aren't exactly analogous. I mean, so
no,
I know, but that was not. His argument was not that it was black people were slaves, so we shouldn't have gay marriage. What?
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Okay. 58 minutes after the hour. Back with Celebrity Sack, Ted Boutros, and much more as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Happy Friday, everybody. 6 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere, stephaniemiller.com. The website, check it out. You can email us all there, executive producer Chris LaVoy, voice deity Jim Ward, or me, Stephanie Miller. Mama will be on the Ed Show on MSNBC today, I think, at 3 p.m. Pacific.
Oh, okay.
One would hope, unless there's something more important, which almost everything is more
is
important.
Is it handicapped access? Is there?
Yes. Yes, when I go do Larry King, they have like a little, it's sort of like a little cattle elevator they make me get into to go and get up to. Yeah, that's what happens. All right, 1-800, Steph, yeah, MSNBC, kind of on a budget, I just hobble up there myself. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere, we have a.
Oh my God.
What? All right, it's been a big news week here in California, obviously, with the overturning of Prop 8. Ted Boutros Jr., Ted Olson's law partner, joins us now. Hello, Ted.
Hi, Stephanie.
Hello, and congratulations. Woo-hoo!
Thank you very much. It's been an unbelievably wonderful week.
Yeah, boy, howdy has it. I mean, you know, I'm not a legal expert like you, but I'm told this was really kind of an unprecedented slam dunk.
It from start to finish, the judge both demolished and took apart the arguments of the proponents of Proposition 8 and then resoundingly carefully, meticulously ruled that Proposition 8 violates due process and equal protection and walked through all the evidence. It's just a powerful ruling. We're so pleased with it, and we're so pleased for our clients. It's just been fantastic.
Well, you know, as always happens in the legal process, now it becomes what's next. I think I saw, who was it, the head of Concerned Women for America on Hardball yesterday,
yeah,
with
that.
Her concerns.
Yeah, I saw her, too,
yeah.
And found her, she seemed very jittery.
Yes, and she just kept repeating one man, one woman. She didn't really have a really pointed legal argument there.
She was misrepresenting what happened at the trial and in the case in a way that I think shows the desperation in terms of trying to find arguments. She wasn't talking about due process or equal protection. She was claiming that the witnesses were intimidated from coming forward, and the judge talks about that in his opinion. They claimed it was the cameras, which had already been ruled out, that kept them away. It was David Boies cross-examination.
Yeah, it was a scary, mean judge. Uh-huh.
And it's the next phase of this is the appeal process. The proponents have asked the judge to stay his ruling while they appeal. We're filing an opposition to that today, and then we'll be looking towards the Ninth Circuit. We're ready to go to the next stage. We could not have a better record for this case to go up on appeal, so we feel very good about it and look forward to it.
But now, Ted, the question obviously everybody asking is, what does that mean? The appeals court has no deadline, right, in which to decide the constitutional question. So when, I guess what people are trying to find out is when possibly could gay marriages actually go forward in California?
That is the question people are asking, and there is no deadline for the Ninth Circuit to decide. We're going to file a brief today that says asking Judge Walker not to suspend things. If he agrees with us, the proponents will go to the Ninth Circuit and ask them to suspend things while the appeal is going. We're going to ask the Ninth Circuit, if that happens, to reject that request and to expedite the appeal, because the appellate process can take 6 months, a year, longer. We're going to ask for an expedited proceeding because this is a situation where people want to get married. You know, love is the kind of thing when it strikes, it's there, and people want to get married. You don't say, I want to get married, whenever the courts tell me I can.
Yes,
and,
it's like a bad rash. It must be addressed immediately. I understand.
Exactly. You got to get in there and do it. And that's been our theme all along, that our clients' rights and the rights of thousands of people in California are being violated every day by an unconstitutional law, and that's why speedy treatment is necessary.
But, Ted, what do you think is going to happen? So, we just don't have any idea how soon. So, if the Ninth Circuit rules in your favor, gay marriage will go forward while the appeal goes on, presumably up to the Supreme Court, or how does it work?
Correct. If we prevail in asking the courts to reject this request for a stay, then marriages could go forward immediately. The proponents have vowed to ask the Supreme Court to issue a stay. They are adamant that other people shouldn't get married, which has always been a position I cannot fathom. Why do they care? People want to get married and have a loving relationship that's called marriage, but they are bound and determined to stop that from happening.
Well, because it's clearly already caused Bristol and Levi to break up. It's already preemptively. Streets were two straights were not even allowed to get married because of the gays.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And they can't point to harm, and we keep pointing out 18,000 same-sex couples were married back before Proposition 8 was passed, and the world hasn't come to an end, and it won't come to an end, and no one will be harmed. And as Judge Walker found, based on a trial and evidence, there was no evidence from the proponents of Proposition 8 that allowing same-sex marriage will hurt anyone, and that is, I think, compelling evidence as to why this ruling should go into immediate effect.
Ted Boutros, I wonder if you might respond to noted legal analyst Michael Savage on this.
Little Caesar claimed that the right to marry protects an individual's choice of marital partner, regardless of gender. Now, let me go on to the next step. The fact that this Little Caesar happens to be gay is an issue. This is a bias. And the fact that the media refuses to report to you that Little Caesar is a member of the gay community is unto itself a bias.
They have reported it.
Yeah.
Yes, number one, they have reported. Gosh, Ted, apparently he should have recused himself, just as every straight justice in the world should recuse himself when there's anything to do with straight marriage, apparently.
It's truly outrageous and disrespectful. And again, that shows you how weak, how non-existent the arguments on the merits are. Chief Judge Walker is one of the most highly respected judges in America. He is a superb, fair judge. This trial, he was so careful to give everyone the chance to put on the evidence, and he looked at the law. And as you point out, if you start going down that road, what about Justice Ginsburg on the Supreme Court when an issue about gender issues come up? And
right.
She handled those cases when she was a lawyer. And it's ridiculous. It's outrageous. But it is telling because
yep.
when people have to make arguments like that.
Yeah, you're bankrupt.
Exactly.
That's what I was saying. It reminds me, I always make this analogy of that in the old Western when the guy runs out of bullets and then he just throws the gun at you. That's what happened with a few of the witnesses in your trial, right? They were like, okay.
That is a great image. It basically, when David Blankenhorn was testifying, I think if he had had, you know, a gavel or a gun to throw at David Boies, he would have tried it because he tried everything else and could not respond.
Click, click, go. So how does it, tell us the Supreme Court, how does it get to the Supreme Court and how long will it take, given this is a landmark case and all of that? Take us through that for a second.
Yeah, here's how the process will play out. We go to the Ninth Circuit. The proponents have already appealed. They basically appealed before the ruling came out, which I thought was, you know, the most defensive move I've ever seen in legal history. The Ninth Circuit will then look at the issues and make a decision one way or another. We think we have such a strong argument based on this ruling. When the Ninth Circuit rules, whoever loses can ask the Supreme Court to review the case. And that process, once the Ninth Circuit rules, can take you first probably, you know, 3 to 4 months to find out whether the court takes the case, and then once the court takes the case, it can take 3 months to 6 months to 9 months for the Supreme Court to rule. So probably the process, if the Supreme went all the way to the Supreme Court granted review and decided the case, would probably take us into 2012. But we're going to ask for speedy treatment here. You know, there's been a lot of debate about what the Supreme Court would do with this issue.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
We have felt, I think back when I talked to you in last May, I feel like I'm a regular on the show.
You are.
I said, we feel we can win this case in the U.S. Supreme Court. When Ted Olson and David Boies and I looked at this from the beginning, and that was, you know, we knew this was headed to the Supreme Court. So we want to move as quickly as we can.
Well,
get there.
You know, I think, and now I'm, well, it's escaping me for a moment, what Chris Matthews, I thought, brought up yesterday about why it looks positive, the Supreme Court. It's something that Scalia has even ruled on. I'm trying to think what, because obviously some cases are always going to affect another case. If you've already ruled this, then you can't rule that. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely. In Lawrence versus Texas, which was
that's
a 2003
right.
case, where Justice Kennedy and 5 other justices voted to strike down the Texas anti-sodomy law on due process grounds, and Justice O'Connor talked about equal protection. Justice Scalia wrote a very, I'll say, vigorous dissent, and he noted that the rationale of the court, the majority in Lawrence, paved the way and was a building block and should lead to a ruling that same-sex marriage was something that due process and equal protection required. He was doing that because he was arguing the court should not go down that road, but he was right. The rationale of the court in Lawrence and other cases, and then in the marriage cases, the Ted Olson count went into a small room and counted up at least 14 cases from the Supreme Court going back into the 1800s where the court said marriage is a fundamental right of all people.
Mm-hmm.
And when you take all that, you mix it together, it's such a compelling case. And that's why we have always thought we should win this case in the Supreme Court.
When you put it in a legal salad shooter, it looks like it's going to come out fabulous.
Yes, mm-hmm. we need a legal salad shooter. That's a great idea.
Ted Boutros, am I the only one with a weird conspiracy theory? That what's up with the right and the 14th Amendments wanting to peel that from the Constitution like so much string cheese? Is that a way to get rid of the brown people and the gays?
It hit me yesterday too that the whole let's repeal the 14th Amendment was a very subtle play to try to affect our case without mentioning our case. But yes, it would be a double play if they can get rid of it.
Mm.
I think that has got to be just some sort of political talking point.
Yep.
That Republicans, Democrats who are serious about our government and our Constitution know that the 14th Amendment is really the bedrock of equality and fairness in this country and such an important value. So I hope this is just some talking point. pretty sure it is. And without the 14th Amendment, we would be a much less great country.
Here's how you know you may have gone round the bend politically: when Alan Keyes tells you you might be crazy. Alan Keyes, it's like Lindsey Graham. What? Get it together.
Yeah.
I hadn't heard that, but that's, yes, that's good to hear that Mr. Keyes is supporting the 14th Amendment.
Bringing the Republican Party back to sanity. Okay. Ted Boudros, Jr., thanks as always. I hope you will continue to check in with us as we follow this really historic case. And what a great week out here in California. Thanks so much, Ted.
It's been great. Thank you.
All right.
Bye.
There he goes. Ted Boudros.
Boudros. Golly.
Thank you.
That never gets old.
In a totally unrelated story, there's a beaver festival you should know about, Jim.
Oh,
we'll tell
really?
You about that after the break. Not yet.
Oh, okay.
He's
going
to have to wait.
Oh,
I'm
going
to tease it. It's a tease.
You see. Will Jerry Mathers be there?
18 minutes after the hour. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
She's your information slut. It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
Is that what? Katy Perry?
What?
It is. I heard she kissed a girl.
Oh, squeezy.
And Russell, what's his name?
Russell Brand?
Russell, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm. He seems like he needs a shower. He's odd.
Mm.
He's funny.
You know what? You know what did this? Shelley Wright told Jim she had a dream about him. And I'm like, oh. I told her. I'm like, yeah. You gave Jim a heart attack and a situation that lasted more than 4 hours, if you catch my drift.
A situation?
And needed medical
like
attention.
Yeah. God, I hope not.
1-800-STEP-1 due to the
phone
number.
I need to correct something I said earlier.
Yes.
I had a brain fart. And,
yes.
You know, Harry Truman, of course, did serve 2 terms. He was selected by Roosevelt to replace Henry Wallace in 1944. And
thank God.
Became president about 4 months after becoming vice president early in 1945.
How dare you mar my journalistic excellence.
Truman, of course, beat Dewey. Right.
Well, we've had the papers reported.
Okay.
We've had perfect journalistic credits until now.
Smudge.
My point was desegregating the military when 7% of the officers and enlisted men were against it took political courage. Is my
the
point.
First time we've ever gotten anything wrong on this program,
first
Jim.
First time ever.
Hey, Jim, look over
and
there.
It will never, ever happen again.
It's a beaver festival. Chris from Castro Valley.
Can you get tickets?
Jim, wanted to let you know there's a beaver festival on Saturday. In Martinez, California, at Beaver Park.
There's a Beaver Park. Well, they should have a beaver festival.
They're providing beaver tours. If you'd like a tour of a beaver.
Wow.
Face paintings.
Uh-huh. I won't
and
comment
more
on that.
And more. It's kind of an unidentified more.
Nice beaver.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. I just had it stuffed.
If any of your listeners haven't had the opportunity to tour beavers to live music, this is the festival for them. Chris from Castro Valley, thanks for your heads up there.
Wow.
Thanks.
Well, well, well.
Carol in Seattle, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Carol.
Hi, Stephanie.
Hello.
I wanted to comment on the previous caller who was, you know, felt like marriage was defined as between a man and a woman.
Yes.
And then made references to other countries where polygamy is legal. Well, I think in the other countries where polygamy is legal, it's based on their religion, Islam, and in I think he's basing his beliefs that marriage is between a man and a woman on religion, his Christianity. But this is not a theocracy. This is a democracy. Right.
Well, that was the main tenet of the Prop 8 ruling, Carol, is that this has always been a civil thing, that this should not have to do with the, you know, you can either have it done religiously or not, but that shouldn't have anything to do with this.
Exactly. But I think that's why he wouldn't answer your question when you said, why do you think that?
Yeah,
because
people need to
religion,
start.
It's his belief, and it's not everybody else's belief. So
people need to start, like, coming out of their hypnotic trance, like that concerned woman for America, the man and a woman. Man and a woman, Chris. Man and a woman. Because it's the man and a woman. That's why.
Because it's always been that
way. Why? I don't get it. What's it do to your marriage? Man and a woman, Chris. Man and a woman.
Yeah, when as soon as this...
He actually made me laugh. He said, it's Wendy, whoever, the head of the Concerned Women for America. What are you concerned about? That's what he asked her. Why are you so concerned about gay marriage? What's the deal? What's it do to you? Okay.
Does it make you have a tingle up your leg? Fair enough. Ha!
This Prop 8 ruling made straight couples explode on the streets.
Exactly. I saw a few implode.
Yeah.
Tom in New York, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Tom.
Hi, Steph. I wanted to comment on the 14th Amendment. Uh-huh. I hope that the right-wing nut jobs continue to forget that back in June, Justice Alito explicitly based his opinion on the Chicago gun rights on the 14th Amendment extending the Second Amendment to the states.
Interesting.
So yeah. If they overturn the 14th Amendment, can we turn around and say, okay, no federal laws for gun control, but state laws can control it?
Well,
if you're going to overturn that, why not just call the idea of owning a gun a privilege instead of a right?
By the way, that's the other reason why this is just a blatantly political, stupid thing. You can't. The founders made it deliberately really hard to appeal an amendment. You can't just, we don't like that one.
Yep.
All right.
I like parts of it. Can we cut out that part?
I don't like that part. It's
icky.
Justin in Orange County on the 14th Amendment. Hello, Justin.
Hey, Steph and the Mooks. First of all, quick comment. There's got to be a joke in there with face painting at a beaver park.
Yeah, there was.
No, there's you know what? I read it very clearly in Jim's thought bubble. I did not need to share it with the rest of the class.
Okay. Anyways, the 14th Amendment, that's where corporate citizenship is derived from as well. So if they want to overturn that,
all right,
you can go ahead and get rid of the Citizens United case
All right,
well.
Then.
That would actually be a good thing.
Go for it.
I mean,
conservatives always like to point out unintended consequences.
Yes.
Repealing the 14th Amendment is so full of unintended consequences that
it's
they
so
don't
of,
realize it.
So full of legal whoopsies. For
yeah.
them. No, darn it.
Wait a minute. I just outlawed being a Republican?
Oh, crap. Oh,
damn it.
How did I? Oh,
Greg,
no.
Greg in Los Angeles, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Greg.
Stephanie, thank you so much for being a leader and speaking out on this issue. I really appreciate it.
Dare you call me such a thing? All right, go ahead.
Oh, Obama's own church believes in gay marriage, the Church of God. And I have thought about, I have a partner that lives in Venezuela. I've been trying to get here for 5 years. If he were a woman, no brainer. He could come here. Mm-hmm. And I thought about hiring an attorney and asking for my freedom of religion to marry him and bring him here. You know, it's just not fair.
Yep, I hear you, honey. 29 minutes after the hour, Celebrity Stack next. Oh, Whoopi Goldberg, my.
Oh, dear.
Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Do I look like I've been drinking?
No.
Well, I will in 5 minutes.
It is the Stephanie Miller
Show.
That
was Wendy Malick, wasn't it?
Yes, it was.
34 minutes after the hour.
You have a thing for her, Jim.
Yeah, I kind of do.
It's the squeeziest thing for nearly everyone. 1-800-STEPH-1-2, the phone number, toll free
from
anywhere.
Ever since that Brian Benben show, what was that called?
He's a heartbreaker. He's obsessed with Elizabeth Perkins and dropped her in just a moment for Aisha Tyler walked in. Oh, all right. Let's go to Jerry in D.C. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Jer.
Hey, Steph. Listen, I wanted to comment on Charles because I am a black gay man, or I'm a gay man who happens to be black, or a black man who happens to be gay.
Is that
gay.
Allowed?
I didn't know that was legal.
I'm not sure, but I got across the border and nobody sent me back.
That's two separate borders you came across at the same time.
but I wanted to comment because I grow weary of this lament that people put out that you can't talk about the issues that the gay community had and compare it to the issues the black community had. Because, you know what? Both communities get denied employment because of who they are. Both communities get denied in housing and in public accommodation because of who they are. Now, I will admit that as a black person, as a gay person, no other gay people I know were brought over here to be slaves, although I'm sure there were some slaves who happened to be gay.
Right.
But as a black person, I never had to come out to my parents as black. I never had to risk my parents rejecting me and kicking me out of the house
right.
for being black.
You're what?
Oh my God, you're black. Right. I just realized.
Did they whisper it at first? You know, honey, I just noticed.
I noticed he's black. You know, and I never had to risk that my parents would commit me to an insane asylum and submit me to electroshock or hide me in an attic because I'm black. So, yes, the two communities had different experiences, mm-hmm. but they both had experiences of discrimination.
Well, you know, and Jerry,
my pain is worse than your pain
right.
game.
That's my point. Divide and conquer is a right-wing game, and I just don't want to play it. I think we all can have rights and equality. How about that?
That works for me.
And ponies,
I
too.
I can cover on both counts.
And ponies. Where's my happy music? I say we all get ponies. Okay, you know...
And rainbows.
Happy. And rainbows. And mice in little fitty pajamas on toadstools.
And okay. Big Rock Candy Mountains.
Yes. Okay. It's just an idea. I don't know. All right. So, Whoopi Goldberg. Wowee.
What'd she say this time?
Oh, Whoopi.
Actually, she was in the right on this.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
yes.
Well, there was this, what you call it, the gate crashers, the yeah. White House gate crashers.
Michaela Salahi.
Yes. She was on The View, and at one point during the interview, Goldberg walked in offstage, touched her, and whispered in her ear to get to the topic of the White House party crashing. Goldberg then went offstage again. So Salahi's lawyer said that Goldberg screamed at her after the show, "I didn't hit you. Did you say I hit you?"
Yes, apparently Salahi is accusing Goldberg of hitting her when she just, in fact, touched her. And it's on videotape. She just touched her to get her attention.
Right. Anyway, and so Whoopi Goldberg is...
I make no, you know, apology for my choice words. But then her husband got in my face, had his BlackBerry out, and started taking pictures of me. And needless to say, I really went off then. And there was even more choice of words.
Yeah. So anyway, that's that whole story. Well, I think I mentioned this to Ted Boutros, but the gays have preemptively struck.
What?
Levi and Bristol are no more, as you know. I love that Bristol said apparently the bigger reason she broke off the engagement is because he's about to make a video, not so much the, you know, knocking up the other woman, allegedly. That
happens.
It's kind of what he's known for.
Yeah.
He's set to make a music video as a lover whose romance is thwarted by his girlfriend's disapproving mother. In other words, as Bristol told People.com, a music video mocking her family, which is, frankly, my job. But, you know, join the party.
Who would put Levi Johnson in a music video?
Naomi Campbell testified at The Hague.
Oh, yes.
I just love this story. D-listed writing, Naomi Campbell. At the trial, the war crimes trial of former Liberian President James, President Charles Taylor.
Right.
Naomi.
James Taylor?
Yeah,
sorry,
not James
no,
Taylor.
No, he's fine. He's not on trial
he's
for anything.
He's down Mexico.
Yeah.
Yes.
not
at The Hague.
No.
Naomi, D-listed writing, Naomi made it perfectly crystal clear that she would rather be moisturizing her nipples with her maid's fearful tears on her billionaire boyfriend's yacht than testifying in
yes.
the frivolous trial of a man who orchestrated the murder and rape of hundreds of thousands. So while throwing imaginary blackberries with her eyes at everyone in the room, Naomi answered questions about the night Charles Taylor gave her a blood diamond.
Did they throw a wheel of Gouda at her head?
And Naomi, on why she didn't ask the two men who the diamonds were from, she said, "I get gifts given to me all the time at all hours of the night, sometimes without notes. It's quite normal for me to receive gifts." Okay.
Whatever.
Keep you from hitting them.
And she actually said to the judge,
I don't have time for this.
Yeah,
this is very inconvenient.
I have other things to do. This is very inconvenient for me.
Wow.
All right.
Don't you know who I think I used to be?
Exactly. Yeah. Michael Jackson's former, where he died, it's up for sale, Jim, is a Bel Air home. Mm. Only $29 million. I don't know if that includes the anesthesia.
What a bargoon.
Hmm?
Yeah.
It's the Holmby Hills mansion where he is. He rented the property for $100,000 a month, and now it's for the bargain basement price of, it used to be $38 million, now it's $29 million. Jim has that on him normally.
Yeah, got that in my back pocket.
The gated French chateau-style estate boasts 7 bedrooms, 13 toilets, as well as a gym, screening room, spa facility, 7-car garage, wine cellar, complete with tasting room. So, eat it.
But
eat
did
it.
He even drink? No, it's Jesus juice cellar.
Pardon me. They always have entirely too many bathrooms in those houses, because I think every trophy wife is a bulimic, so clearly there must be a bathroom every 2 to 3 inches.
Right. Can't go
I'm
five
sorry,
steps
honey.
Without having a bath.
You were saying what? Obama celebrates his birthday with Oprah in Chicago.
And Gail.
And Gail King, who was just on the show last week and did not invite me. Hello. Hello. Michelle Obama is in Spain. Barack Obama zipped to Chicago with the first dog, Beau, and had dinner with Oprah and Gail. And no invitation for
Stephanie Miller. All up in arms about Michelle's trip to Spain.
Oh, I know.
She's Marie Antoinette.
It looks so fancy. Look at it.
Going to Europe with the socialized medicine and the communism.
All right. Let's go to Chris in Santa Fe, New Mexico. Hi, Chris.
Hi, guys. As long as we're going to do the religious angle, I just have to point out again, Jesus had two daddies.
Oh, yes, dear.
Later, skater.
Paul in California.
Hey, Stephanie.
Hello.
Hey, these people that are making the analogy about polygamy versus gay marriage, you know, they don't understand that if Adam and Steve get married, that doesn't affect society as a whole. But say Jim Ward, with his wealth and his talent, goes out and gets like 5 or 10 wives, that affects society on a whole. Because
yeah, that's harsh in your buzz in a big way.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And you end up like these, you know, there are societies where that's allowed, polygamy is allowed, and then the men that don't have the wealth or the power, they end up desperate, and then you could recruit them to say, go out and do something like fly a plane into a building. And so
because does, Jim Ward is hogging all the women. Okay, it, I get
well,
your point.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, yeah. that's the way it is. So,
sure.
You
sure.
know, polygamy
sure.
is not the same thing as gay marriage.
I got it.
It'll tear the fabric of our society.
I got it. We need basically an anti-Squeezy McField Pants proposition out here in California. Damn you, Jim.
So wealthy and powerful.
Have you no decency? Long last. Bethany in Chicago. Hi, Beth.
Oh, I love Jerry's call. And you're on fire today, Steph. I'm so
Thank
with you.
You.
And I just want to say I understand Jim with the conspiracy theories and all, because this bashing of immigrants is just making me sick, especially being married to a man from Mexico. And I've seen this for so long. You know, it's like they're inherently bad, and that's the reason that there's so much violence. The violence is because of our immigration and drug laws.
Yeah.
That's why we're having this epidemic of dead young men in Mexico. And no one's talking about that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and if Arizona is scared, then let's talk about reform and stop being such babies. I'm getting so sick. And think of the timeline. This was my point. Okay, 2005, the Bush is in, the war is going south, they start bashing gays. Then it was pedophiles. Then the Homeland Security guy went to jail.
Yep.
So then it was minority bashing, and that was to privatize Social Security.
Yep.
I mean, that's all that was.
Yep,
and
I'm telling you, same play.
Years of it.
Yep.
And it's dangerous.
Different years, same
and,
play.
And, it,
yep.
and they're accepting it. And then when that, you know, that failed, 2006, here's Lou Dobbs bashing the immigrants because they knew this financial collapse was coming.
Yep.
And it was a perfect scapegoat, and it worked. That's what makes me so upset, and this illegals and anchor babies. It's just like fascism.
Yeah.
Why don't people see this?
Yep.
I mean, if it's gay rights and it's human rights issues. You're talking about people that are stuck here that can't go see their families when they're dying.
Yep,
and
exactly.
I really
well, at least the gays can't
that.
Drop anchor babies. That's the important thing, I
you
think.
You know, the nerve. It's so offensive, and they don't see it.
I know. I got it, Bethany. Thank you so much. Oh, looky here.
What?
Grayson opponent busted for tax evasion.
What?
Oh, it's so sad when something unfortunate happens to one of the... What did he call them the other day on the show?
I don't know.
It's like a gang tackle. It's not a primary. They've got so many guys running against him.
He's got
just
like nine people running against him.
The dwarfs, I think he called them. A candidate who plans to run against Alan Grayson has run into a little bit of tax trouble. Republican Bruce O'Donohue owes the IRS more than $300,000 after he failed to pay his payroll taxes for last year. Oh, dear. That's unfortunate, isn't it? All right. They better drain that swamp.
Yes.
45 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Holy cow! You just blew my mind!
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
Damn kids, turn down the noise!
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 50 minutes after the hour. I eat 1-800-STEPH12, the phone number.
I want this party stopped now.
Listen, I told you I put in a new lawn. That's mostly what I do is I go home to my what looks like the urgent care center at Cedars-Sinai.
Mm-hmm.
I have my H-Wave machine, and I have my bone stimulator, and I have my 3 mobility scooters.
3.
And I have a new lawn that I just sit out there, and I just, you know, I just sit there with my shotgun.
And your hose.
Get out there, critters! I keep the critters and the chillins off of there. Mm-hmm. All right.
Do you keep your children off of there?
No, I just make sure that everything stays off of it.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm talking about your dogs.
I put a fence around it so they can't go on it either.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I've got that lawn thing
I
now.
I think the raccoons will figure out that fence
real
fast.
And I think your dogs will just barrel through that fence.
Yeah.
My raccoons have been known to, they don't do, they just do pranks. Like they'll roll up your really expensive sod and just like, you know, like sort of like short sheeting your bed.
Yeah.
Or saran wrapping your toilet seat.
And then they'll hurl an avocado at you.
Laughing at you in the bushes. They sound like Phyllis Diller late at night. That's what you can hear in the garden. It's not funny. Roll it back. All right. A big week out here in California. I8 with a Prop 8 overturned. I love some people sent me some of the best signs.
Oh, yeah.
Somebody has a homo sex is, and then someone else just put another sign up that says, great. I think the guy, it said homo sex is sick, and he just had up a great over the blocking.
There's another one where, you have the God hates fags signs over here,
yes.
And then a guy over here has a sign that says, F these guys, with an arrow pointing to them. And only F is spelled out.
By the way, in more evidence that God is a Democrat, someone called yesterday, one of our listeners in Utah, said rainbows actually appeared in Utah.
Mm-hmm.
After the Mormons must have been like, how did they get those up there? After all the money we spent on the gay bashing,
I suspect it was water droplets refracting light.
That's all it is.
Yeah.
You know, it's monsoon season.
I think God put a little rainbow flag up just to say whose side he's on.
No, they get thunderstorms in August in Utah, so it's to be kind of expected.
I choose to believe. Ellie in Sausalito says this is the best Prop 8 reaction. The president of the American Family Association said it's also extremely problematic that Judge Walker is a practicing homosexual himself.
Ooh.
Ellie says he's a practicing homosexual.
Hasn't got it right yet.
Some people get so good they go professional, you know. Is that like a practicing lawyer or a practicing Christian? He gave up his medical practice to start a homosexual practice?
Is it like practicing the oboe?
Yes.
Well,
he's a practicing homosexual. Yikes.
Wow.
Zoinks. By the way, the CEO of Target,
yes,
has apologized to employees for donating to that anti-gay candidate, Tom Emmer, in Minnesota? Tom Emmer is an outspoken opponent of rights for, so I don't know. They say they're going to do a better.
I think the family changed the name from Hummer.
Really?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
No, the memo that the Target CEO wrote to his employees was heartfelt. However, a lot of damage was done by giving that amount of money to
the last straw
like
for me was when they got rid of Mizrahi.
But that was like 5 years ago,
I know,
Stephanie.
I've never recovered.
I guess not.
Okay.
In fact, they've gotten better designers now. Seriously.
Are you implying that someone is better than Isaac Mizrahi? How dare you? Okay. Former President Bush has been working on his book with his Crayolas and
great.
His construction paper.
Inside the lines, Georgie. Color inside the lines.
Bush insisted now the book's release date be pushed back to after the elections, apparently out of concern people might remember what a disastrous president he actually was.
No, the deficit happened on Obama's watch. Mm-hmm. It just started then.
Oh, please give me President Sarah Palin. That's all I'm hoping for. We forgot. Oh, we have one more. We saved dessert of Right Wing World for you, Jim. It's Sarah Palin on the Hannity Show.
It is a travesty, then, to consider that our own president is choosing which laws to enforce and which ones not. And to not be willing to protect the legal immigrants who built this great country is something that Jan Brewer has called him on and said, no, she's going to do something about it there in Arizona if he won't do his job overseeing the immigration laws that we have on the books. It is, it's a travesty what's going on with the immigration issues in this nation.
Oh, because he does not have the cojones, por favor. Thank you. Please and thank you.
There have been more.
Tom Bien,
you
too.
Betcha. Also, do an addition.
There have been more deportations under Obama than ever were under Bush.
That's exactly my point. There have been less deportations than ever.
She's not a smart woman.
Yo no soy inteligente.
Oh, her brain is like a box
also
of chocolates.
Also, too, Tom Bien.
Okay. Her, so, by the way, Scott, the Senator Fold voted against Elena Kagan. Did you see that? Though calling her brilliant, he said the best umpires, to use a popular analogy, must not call balls and strikes, but also have to spend enough time on the playing field to know the strike zone.
Senator.
All right, jockstrap, whatever.
Actually, Brown has come over to our side quite a
bit. I don't know why he did that. Whatever.
Yeah.
There's some political courage.
It's almost like someone thinking they can be a senator based on the fact that they've been a hand model or something. You know, they're like, for some reason, that's why they're...
Possession of hot pink leather shorts.
Exactly. Okay, Senator Jim DeMint on the Elena Kagan confirmation yesterday.
I think a lot of us as Republicans are going to try to remind the voters that it's very important to have the checks and balances here in Washington that will make sure we get a balance on the court and not get these progressive judges and justices that believe they need to make new constitutions out of their ruling.
By balance, you mean listing to the right by about 80 degrees. That's... Well, you can't fall much further, so it's a kind of balance in a way.
People believe in craziness, like shredding parts of the Constitution that one doesn't like the 14th Amendment. You'd hate that. It'd be crazy. Okay, Representative Steve King, speaking of ridiculous right-wing tools, he wrote an op-ed that compared Democrats to Pontius Pilate.
Huh?
What?
Democrats' support for comprehensive immigration reform, they're like Pontius Pilate, Roman official who sentenced Jesus to be crucified.
Right.
King contended that if democratic policies had been enacted in ancient Egypt, they would have prevented the Israelites from escaping slavery under the Pharaoh and instead kept Moses and his people in Egypt in order to build Pharaoh's temples.
Whatever.
At below market wages.
That's a bit of a stretch.
Wow. That's not very stunning.
He is normally the stunning representative, Steve King, as Michelle Bachmann calls him, but that right there, that is the most insanely idiotic...
Maybe what Michelle. You just said is one of the most insanely idiotic things I have ever heard.
Mm-hmm.
At no point were you even close to anything that could be considered a rational thought. Everyone in this room is now dumber for having listened to it.
Michelle Bachmann looks kind of stunned, like alley-oop hit her in the head with his mallet, you know.
She looks like she's climbing the electrified fence that Steve King once suggested to keep illegal immigrants out of the country because it works for his farm animals. She does. She looks like she's climbing over the fence to get to the stunning Steve King.
All right.
Can you turn it down a little bit, Steve?
It's not often you get an alley-oop reference on talk radio.
No. Probably the first one in 50 years.
That's it for us. Have a great weekend. See you Monday on The Stephanie Miller Show.